Kevin Shepherd, the social studies and English teacher for Three Rivers Community School.
Three Rivers.
Did I say Three Rivers?
Yep, it's Two Rivers.
Four Rivers Community School. Sorry, Two Rivers. I don't know where I was. What's the third river? Okay, the social studies and English teacher of Two Rivers Community School. Did I really say Three Rivers?
We have Three Rivers.
You know, you guys have a fundraiser coming up. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we do. So we're going to have the Two Rivers Community School Bingo Night coming up. So at that, that's going to be this Friday, November 9th from 6 to 9 p.m. And it's going to be hosted at the Hotel Colorado in Glenwood Springs. It is $75 for a ticket or $50 per person if you buy ahead of time. But we're going to have some really awesome raffles there. We're going to have a silent auction where you could win ski trips, ski passes. We're also going to have bingo where a lot of local companies are participating in the bingo prizes. So that could be anywhere from an oil change to a lift ticket to hot spring pass. And then there's just going to be a ton of other prizes. We're also going to have childcare provided by our eighth graders as part of a way they can raise money for their Mexico trip in the spring. So if
Mexico
you can,
trip.
Yeah, we send our eighth grade to Mexico in the spring, Baja California.
Oh,
yep,
okay.
For surf camp.
Surf camp.
Yep.
Right on. All right. So this is Friday night?
This is this Friday night from 6 to 9. So if anyone's interested in going, you can pick up tickets at the school at Two Rivers Community School or go to our website, tworiverscommunityschool.com.
Don't go to Three Rivers Community School.
Not Three
School.
Rivers. That
and
does
where
not
is bingo night? Is it at the school?
It's at the Hotel Colorado. Yep.
Okay. All right. Hope to see everybody out there. Well, our next group is here. It's a group of two.
Yep. Right here we have Quinn and Natalie, and they're looking at sterilization as a horse, as a solution to this horse management problem.
Sterilization, that's a pretty intense way to manage horses. Why did you choose to study sterilization?
We decided to study horse sterilization because it was one of the reasons, it was one of the ways to help manage the wild horse population.
Okay, and what did you find out?
We found out there are many different ways to do sterilization to a horse. Mm-hmm. There can be like ongoing, like it's permanent or not permanent.
Okay, so permanent sterilization and not so permanent sterilization, which is more like birth control, right?
Pretty much.
Okay. What's the difference? What kind of, are there different kinds of things that the BLM does to the horses so that they're permanently sterilized? What's the difference between that and the fertility control or PZP?
So the BLM for the sterilization, they usually take the horses under surgical procedures. Mm-hmm. And from there, they surgically remove the male productive parts that produce offspring. Mm-hmm. And there are other like alternatives for that that are like not so permanent, like such as birth control, but instead it's a shot. Mm-hmm. And that they inject it, and it's not so effective, as you have to keep renewing it every 3 years or so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what do you think, if the horses are sterilized, that means they won't be able to have babies ever. What do you think, what does that mean for the future of herds out in the wild?
That could mean that the population of horses will somehow be contained in a way for the BLM and give them enough time to handle the problem on overpopulation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is this, how does science support PZP? Did you learn about that at all?
We kind of did. Mm-hmm. So science supports PCP as a non-effective way. Like, it works for a temporary amount of time.
Okay.
But they don't really recommend it, as it's not very efficient in some sort of way.
Okay. Is it, which is more expensive, the sterilization or the PZP?
Well, for the PZP, it would be more expensive as you have to keep renewing the shot every 3 or 5 years.
Okay.
To keep it going. The PZP shot is about $2 to $10 per dose.
Mm-hmm.
Per dart.
Okay, per dart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you know how those horses are darted? How do you give a horse, a wild horse, a shot? Any ideas?
I guess they just kind of shoot it at them.
That's right. They shoot it in the butt. Go out there and shoot it with a dart gun.
Yeah, they aim for, like, I think it's the left flank.
Is it? Yeah,
or
I don't know.
I think it's the left.
Okay. Okay. So what is your opinion of current wild horse management? Do you think it's BLM's doing a good job?
Well, the BLM kind of isn't really head-on facing the problem of overpopulation because all of the laws restricting a lot of the things. So right now they're kind of in the process of finding ways to solve the overpopulation of the horses.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying it's not effective because there's a law that gets in the way?
Yeah, there's some laws in place that they're enforced, saying that you're not allowed to, like, hurt the horses and stuff like that, or, like, kill them off and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you think would be the best way to manage wild horses? Any ideas?
Some ways in our PBL groups, we were discussing the best ways.
Mm-hmm.
Some people said, like, the help with the wild horse population is natural predators, like introducing a natural predator to the nearest, biggest horse herds.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be talking about that coming up.
And that's, for what I've heard, that's really the main one. I've heard, like, two or three groups that have decided on that.
Okay. Any ideas for you?
For me, it's kind of like, with the horses.
Natalie, okay.
Yeah. For me, I think for, like, the solution, we should just let nature take its course in a way. Like, all things, like, all living things come to an end, and we should just let them be because they're a natural living thing, and I don't really think in hurting them will be such a great solution.
Well, Natalie and Quinn, thank you very much for taking the time to study this. Is there anything that surprised you from your studies of permanent sterilization of wild horses? Anything surprise you that you found out?
Something that I was actually surprised about is that I thought that they only did, like, not permanent sterilization, just with shots. I didn't know they actually surgically did it.
Okay.
So that surprised me.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
Surprising.
Surprising?
Yeah, like, it, I don't know, just.
Wait, ask that again, Kevin.
Would you say that that's humane?
Kind of, because not really, because we're not really asking, like, we can't ask the horse's permission to do it, but on the other hand, it's also helping, like, people think it's one of the solutions to help solve this overpopulation problem.
Okay. All right. Anything you want to add, Natalie, about your studies?
Just that something that was, like, surprising for me is that there's multiple ways to actually that the BLM was reconsidering on doing, and not just, like, one or, like, two, but, like, a plural of them.
Okay. So there are a lot of different ways to manage the horses that they're looking at. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, thank you all. We've been listening to Natalie and Quinn talking about permanent sterilization techniques that the BLM wants to use for managing wild horses. Thank you all.
And here's our last group. We have Kenneth, Caroline, Annabelle, and Amanda. They have been studying the topic of mountain lion predation and this man named Dr. Turner, who's kind of the guy who's pioneering this idea and this research.
Mountain lion predation. That is an amazing topic. Mountain lion predation. What does that mean?
Mountain lion predation is the mountain lions hunting horses.
Okay.
That's basically what mountain lion predation is.
Okay. And What? Why did you guys choose to study mountain lion predation?
We chose to study mountain lion predation because we were given choices, and we picked it because we think it's a natural, solution. Mm-hmm. And if humans interfere with nature too much, it could go wrong. Mm-hmm. So it's a natural solution.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. It is a natural solution. Who is Dr. Turner?
Dr. Turner is a professor at the University of Toledo. He also came up with the idea to introduce mountain lions into the horse population.
Toledo, Ohio?
I do believe so.
Okay.
I think he was at Colorado State University when he began to study the mountain lion predation.
Okay, but he's currently at Toledo?
Yeah.
Okay, I was just curious. So why did you choose to talk to Dr. Turner?
We chose to do the Dr. Turner because, like Amanda said, it is one of the best ways to take care of the mountain lion mm-hmm. solution, or the horse population. Mm-hmm. And mountain lions are a solution because they are one of the only natural predators of the horse. And, I mean, wolves and bears are kind of, but they are not like mountain lions because mountain lions naturally know how to hunt them in their environment.
Okay. Mountain lions know how to naturally hunt them. So you're saying that mountain lion is pretty much the main predator of wild horse besides a human, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what does Dr. Turner say about mountain lion predation on wild horses?
Well, obviously he likes the idea because he came up with it and he researched it. And so he thinks it's a really good solution for the horses because, once again, it's natural. Annabelle?
In this book that we have at our school, there is a quote and it says, John Turner has been studying wild horses and their interaction with mountain lions for the region of 30 years. He knew better than anyone whether predators could really be a part of the solution of the wild horses.
Okay, well, BLM, let me say this. Mountain lions are not very popular in some circles. They're considered bad for ranch livestock, right? Like cattle, sheep. Some ranchers also don't like wild horses for a variety of reasons. How would you all convince a rancher that mountain lion predation on a wild horse is a good idea?
Well, we were thinking that maybe the BLM could hold a public forum and then they could hear the ideas of the public mm-hmm. and then they could list the pros and cons, and that would probably show the benefits of the mountain lion predation to the farmers and the civilians.
Okay. Yeah. So you're saying a public forum where people could talk about it.
Yeah, and they could see if the pros would outweigh the cons, and then that would pretty clearly state the answer.
Do you guys want to talk about the pros and cons?
Yes, one pro about the mountain lion predation is mountain lions, they're only sustaining themselves by hunting horses. So as they sustain themselves and their cubs, they are firstly sustaining themselves so they can live and reproduce, and they are bringing down the horse population. John Turner did a study on this. He said that they tracked mountain lions and the size of their prey. So he found that mountain lions do hunt wild horses. Mm-hmm. So this isn't new research. This has been happening for a while. Mm-hmm. So that's one pro to the mountain lion predation.
So it keeps the mountain lions alive and it reduces the population of the wild horses.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Anyone else with pros or cons?
Yes, here is one of the cons. The mountain lions could get so used to hunting the wild horses that they could start hunting like the livestock, and they may even start attacking people if the people are like hiking or maybe biking through their natural habitats.
That's interesting. Yes.
Another con would be that it might cost quite a bit because we would have to find mountain lions and then we'd have to transport them to the horse areas, so that might cost
a lot and maybe too much.
So are mountain lions natural to wild horse areas? Do they live there normally?
Wild horses live in the desert, where mountain lions do blend in because of the color of their fur. Mm. So mountain lions, they are adapted to live in the area that wild horses do live in. Mm-hmm. They do not normally live in their areas, but there are cases where they do and hunt horses.
Well, they do in the mountains. There are mountain lions. Did you know that there are 5 horse herds in Colorado?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we did.
So there are mountain lions that live in those areas, definitely. Yes, ma'am.
So there are mountain lions in the mountains and in the deserts where horses are, but there's just not enough to keep the herds down and to a sustained level.
So our proposed idea is to introduce more mountain lions into those areas where they have already been surviving.
You want to introduce more mountain lions into the areas where they're already surviving.
Yes, that exactly.
Great, yes.
And also the mountain lions they're getting fewer in some parts of Colorado because people hunt the mountain lions for sport and for their fur. And like, they're not like deer or elk because no one really eats their meat. It's mostly just for the fur, but people can already get like, you know, animal furs without hunting the mountain lions, who could actually be a part of a solution.
So what do you propose? Do you propose no more hunting of mountain lion?
Yes.
You do? Really? Talk about that.
Okay, so if we were to make mountain lion hunting against the law, we would probably see significant changes in the wild horse population because the mountain lions would grow bigger in their population and they'd spread out to like the Sandwash Basin where one of the herds are, and they would take care of some of the horses there. And maybe if the mountain lion population raises too much and like the horses, you know, they're getting eaten already, so the population is kind of taken care of, maybe we could make it a law that you can hunt again. But maybe for like a few years, we can outlaw it.
Okay. So there would be a couple years where you couldn't hunt them at all. And then, like Anbo said, if it really dropped a lot, then they would open it up again to hunting. So then it would kind of be, so in these 5 years, you can't hunt them. But then in these 5 years, you can. So then people could stock up on hunting supplies for the 5 years. Then they could hunt them. And then it would be illegal. And then the populations would go down. So if we can make it a law where, like, every 5 years or something, the animals couldn't be hunted, then it might help.
Okay.
So if, like, that isn't, if everybody doesn't really agree to that solution, maybe we could also have certain groups of horses with, like, 2 or 3 mountain lions in it. And so, like, those mountain lions could, like, slowly gain onto those horses. So you're not letting a lot of mountain lions or all of them just out into the wild and just letting them roam free and maybe killing all the horses and other people, too.
One more question for you guys. You've done an excellent job on this, and I really think it's a good idea to let people know about a different type of management, you know, solution of mountain lion predation. Not a lot of people talk about this, so I'm really glad that you're able to introduce that to the listening public here on KDNK. What surprised you the most about what you've learned in terms of mountain lion predation?
I would say what surprised us the most is that this idea has not been further researched into.
Mm-hmm.
What surprised me the most is that, because this is a very good idea, and this can be very effective. It is if it's put to use. So, if that just surprised me that it hasn't been further researched into.
Okay.
Yep. Something that surprised me was that probably that people mostly like don't want to kill them or majorly want to kill them and don't want to just like let other animals do it, kind of like nature.
That's really interesting. Do you girls have something to add?
Uh-huh. What surprised me the most was that it's already not illegal to hunt
mountain lions, because if it was, this wouldn't really be a problem. So I thought like you couldn't hunt these animals, but I guess that you can. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I didn't know about this was that kind of when we first started learning about wild horses, I didn't really know they were overpopulated. And I just learned about this, and we started doing the solutions to this. And I think that this solution is a very good solution because it's not like slaughtering horses, even though that was outlawed. That was very inhumane, in my opinion. And even though it may have helped, it still was pretty inhumane, and the horse advocacy groups did not like it.
Another thing that did surprise me is that there's around 10% more wild horses than mountain lions.
Okay. Well, you all did a fabulous job. Kenneth, Caroline, Annabelle, and Amanda have been studying mountain lion predation on wild horses, and I want to thank you all for coming in and talking about it. You did an excellent job. It is 3:29. You're listening to KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. You've been listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program, a special show featuring students from the Two Rivers Community School who have been studying wild horse management in the American West. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh, here with Kevin Shepherd.
Thank you for having us today, Amy. This was a great learning opportunity for the kids, and I hope your listeners learned something today.
They did a fabulous job. I'm really, really impressed. And Beth Weisong, thanks very much for letting us talk about wild horses. Rachel's up next to take you to 4 o'clock, or 4:30. Thanks.